After living in exile in foreign countries for many years, the Israelites were allowed to return to their homeland. As they returned home to their capital city of Jerusalem, they found that the wall that had once protected the city had been completely destroyed. There was an Israelite man named Nehemiah living in Persia as a servant to the king. One day, he received a report from his brother that many Israelites had returned to Jerusalem, but that the wall was in ruins. Nehemiah began weeping, praying that God would forgive the Israelites for the ways they had turned away from God, and that God would help them restore the city. Nehemiah then asked the king of Persia for permission to return to Jerusalem to help the Israelites begin rebuilding the wall. The king agreed, and Nehemiah traveled to Jerusalem. After he arrived back in Jerusalem, Nehemiah visited the wall and thoroughly inspected the ruins. Then he went to the priests and officials of Israel to share his plans. "You see the trouble we are in," Nehemiah said to them. "Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." The officials replied, "Let us start rebuilding." Then, all of the people living in Jerusalem came together to begin work. Israelites from all backgrounds and walks of life joined together in the effort. Priests worked next to warriors. Warriors worked next to merchants, goldsmiths, perfume makers, and people of all other trades. Men, women, and families worked side by side to repair not only the wall, but the city gates as well, laying down beams, raising up doors, and putting bolts and bars in place. Through the leadership of Nehemiah and the combined effort of all of the people living in Jerusalem, the entire city wall was rebuilt in only 52 days.
Hey, welcome to New Day. So glad that you're tuning in from wherever you are. Hello to you in your living room or listening while you're working out or however you're checking things out. Hello to everybody in the room this morning.
Hello.
Hello. And as we look at this message this week about biblical community and we see the example of Nehemiah, two things were critical in their rebuilding plan. They had to have a vision, and they had to have the will. Now, it's easy for me to remember because I drive a VW. Vision and will are how I'm driven everywhere I go. But vision and will are going to be critical not only for things that have happened in the past of God's plan, they're also critical for things that are happening today and things that are going to happen in the future. So that's what we're going to talk about, the vision and the will for biblical community. I love the story of Nehemiah. It reminds me a lot of our story, Michelle and I, and this call to starting a new church. When we graduated from high school, we moved off to the Fox Cities, and one of the first things we did, even as teenagers, was to find a biblical community, to find people who we could fellowship with, people to gather with who would keep us on track, who would help correct us when we had gone over the deep end, and people who would speak encouragement into our lives, who would help us live in a way that was glorifying to God. We looked for that even as teenagers. And as our kids were born, we were building relationships and families. I remember even in some of the early Sundays there, the pastor said, "Hey, somebody's going to be moving and they could use an extra couple of hands." And I thought, well, that seems like an opportunity to meet some people, to become part of a community. And that is one of the ways that we got engaged in those relationships. And as time passed, as Michelle and I got married, and we had these kids, and we were sharing our lives along with other people. In fact, this morning, we've got one of those kids who was born along with our kids who is visiting today, and I definitely don't want to put Ben on the spot at all, but I'm really glad you're here, Ben. One of the most difficult things that we had to do when my pastor asked me, have you ever thought about planting a new church? One of the most difficult things that we had to do was say goodbye to that church family, to that fellowship, because it really had become our family. It was our biblical community. And I'm not a guy who cries, like, at all. It was my last meeting in that church that I fell apart. Because biblical community was such an important part of our lives. So why did we do that? Well, it was because there was a vision. Because I was looking at people who I had graduated with, people from my area, my people. People in Marathon County, and seeing them leave the churches that they grew up in. And I didn't know if they were going to come back. And I thought, maybe they don't know what I know about how good God is in our lives, how He becomes the center of our family, the center of our decision making, how we know that as we make decisions that honor God, we discover what's best for us in the long run. And a biblical community, a fellowship of people, helps us do that. Maybe they don't know about that. Well, what are they going to do when they go through hard times? Where is their hope going to come from? Where is their support going to come from if they don't have the promises of God in their life? When someone close to them dies or when they get sick, what assurances do they have about salvation, about something more than what we can see and experience here? Where's that coming from? I don't know. So we had a vision. I'm not talking about some weird like we could see, but the vision was to start a biblical community that would reach people who are dropping out of biblical communities, to start a fellowship that would reach people who don't know what it means that God loves them, that God has a plan for their lives, and it's good. That was the vision. Then we started this church, and there had to be a vision that would drive what we would do, why we would make decisions. You know, in Nehemiah's case, there were people who were living in the ruins of Jerusalem, and they weren't rebuilding the wall. They were just living in the rubble. Why would they stay unprotected like that? Well, they lacked the vision and the will to rebuild it. A church can exist as a fellowship that really just has a vision to keep existing. Even if we're living among rubble, to just keep doing what we're doing because it's what we're comfortable with, because these are our people, because we don't have the will to move somewhere else. And I don't want to be a part of a church like that, a church that just does things the way we do them because that's the way we've always done them. I don't want to be a part of a church that ends up just existing to exist. We've got to have a bigger vision than that. And the vision that God gives us, the way Jesus told us to pray, was to pray that God's kingdom would come, that His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, those two things go together. God's kingdom is His authority, is His rule. And when we go back to the book of Genesis, we read about the Garden of Eden, and we read about God walking with people and people having everything they need, and everything is in perfect balance. There's perfect harmony between humanity and God, between people and each other, and between people and the rest of creation. And that gets thrown out of whack when people decide, I want to decide what's right and wrong. I don't want to just listen to God. I'm not satisfied living in obedience to Him. I want to be the decision maker here. I want to be like Him. I don't want to be subservient to Him, even though He's my creator, even though He has a plan. So things were thrown out of whack. And Jesus says, pray that God's kingdom, His authority would come, and His will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. What God put in motion in Genesis was to bring things back into balance, was to bring back the balance between God and humanity, between human beings and each other. Love God, love your neighbor, and between humanity and creation. That's the vision. That's what it looks like when His kingdom comes. It's when His will is being done. Then earth looks more like heaven. And we can certainly point to things in the world today that don't look like heaven. We can certainly point to situations, to attitudes, to experiences, to things in our past, things that were done to us or things that we did to others that we're ashamed about. We can certainly point to things and say, that looks like hell. The vision, the reason that we would look at, well, the room that I'm standing in right now, which is very much under construction, the reason we would look at a church that used to gather by the hundreds and now has been scattered, the reason we would look at that and say it's time to rebuild is because there is a vision and there is the will to do that. And the vision for that in our community is that hell invades in so many places, in so many ways, and we have, through the power of Jesus Christ, the opportunity, the responsibility, the honor to do the will of God in order to make our hearts, our households, our neighborhoods, our community, earth look more like heaven and less like hell. And we don't do that just because we have the will to do it on our own. We gather together because it happens in community. It happens when we love God and love each other. We can't just decide to do it on our own. We have to be supporting each other. We have to be correcting each other in order to see God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven. The church is here. The reason I quit my job, the reason we left our community was not just to start something where we'd be having fun or be comfortable or be part of a club. We're here to see the powers of hell driven back and to give people glimpses of heaven on earth. When we look in scripture, and I know Rachel, if you're doing the chat, you already know I'm way off script here. I'm just turning pages here. I'm skipping over. I just decided this morning I just needed to speak from my heart a bit. Acts chapter 2, though, we see what biblical community looks like. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. We see what it looks like as the church is initiated. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is a beautiful glimpse into what the church looks like sometimes. As we read on in the book of Acts, we see it doesn't always look like this. We see that there is a plan for distributing food, and some people aren't getting as much based on their ethnicity. Even in the early church, in this beautiful picture, we see people are imperfect people, and they're bringing their prejudice with them into the church, and so the church has to address it. We see that there are arguments about policies and procedures. Should people have to be circumcised or not? What is okay to eat and what's not okay to eat? And so there are these different discussions and there are splits between people. So while this is a beautiful snapshot, and many of us are here because we've experienced this kind of fellowship, this kind of connection, this kind of generosity, there's also the correcting that needs to happen. There's also the reality that we bring ourselves with us into this fellowship. And each of us carries a residue of sin. Each of us is going through a process of learning what it means for God's will to be done in our hearts and in our homes as it is in heaven. The vision, though, is glimpses of heaven like this happening so that people can see that God is good. And the method for seeing that happen, Jesus gave us the plan for how to do that. He said, go and make disciples. A disciple is someone who does the will of God. So Jesus is saying, if we're going to pray for God's kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, I'm instituting this church. I'm building, in Greek, ekklesia, a gathering of people. And the gates of hell aren't going to be able to withstand it. And what it looks like in his context is investing in 12 people. He's not designing huge programs. He's not trying to put resources towards influencing the government. He's saying, I'm going to build a relationship with a few people. And I'm going to tell them what's important is that you build relationships with people who build relationships with people, and that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom is part of that relationship building process so that you're passing that on. You're moving it forward. This is the plan. This is the vision that we would move the kingdom of God forward, that it would advance against the powers of hell as we live as disciples who are making disciples. That's the vision. Do we have the will? That's the question that we have to wake up and answer every day. Do I have the will? Now, oftentimes I wake up and I may not have the will. That's why it's important that I'm part of a community of people who are encouraging me to continue the walk of discipleship. There is a vision. Do we have the will? I want to invite you all to three calls of action for this summer, because God has plans for this group of people. We are positioned uniquely to reach people who other churches, other biblical fellowships, and this is not a criticism on them, this is about God's plan, and it's about having different avenues. It's about utilizing the diversity of people within the church, individuals, and also churches in communities, having churches be unique. We have a unique ministry to this community. We want to see it continue. That's going to take our will to do some things. So I want to invite you to three calls to action for this summer. We are going to continue in-person gatherings on Sunday morning. They'll be inside, and then also as I stand in this room, I see two boxes against the wall that are giant TVs. And one of the things that we're going to do is roll one of those TVs, and I know I'm saying this in faith. We have Micah in here who's working on this project. I'm saying it faith in God that this is exactly how it's going to work. We're going to roll that technology outdoors and invite you to come. Bring a chair, bring a snack, do whatever you want to do to be comfortable and make this an event for your family to interact with other families. So we can do it outdoors. You can make a reservation inside. What I want you to do, though, is put in-person Sundays on your calendar. Put in-person Sundays on your calendar. That's my first call to action for you. If we're going to have the vision and the will, part of that, I think, is putting it on our calendars. Make it a commitment, because I know in Wisconsin summers, it's easy to roll out of bed. Well, it's not always easy to roll out of bed. When you roll out of bed, it might be easy to say, you know, I just don't feel like gathering in a biblical community today. I just don't feel like seeing the people from church. I just don't feel like hearing a teaching from the Bible today. I don't feel like being around people who might ask me questions where I would have to be honest with them, where they might give me encouragement and I might feel like maybe I've been a hypocrite this week. Whatever it is that would be our hesitation, put it on your calendar. Make a commitment. Decide which Sundays you can be here in person and stick to that. I really think that is going to be part of the rebuilding process after a very strange year, not only of a global pandemic, not only of huge divisions politically in our, not just in our nation, in our community, even in our church. There's rebuilding that needs to happen. There is literal building that needs to happen. And I'd love for you to come here and catch a vision for that, to see what's going on. So call to action number one, put in-person Sundays on your calendar. Call to action number two, pick a Saturday to help with the building renovations. We read in Nehemiah about priests working next to warriors, and warriors working next to perfume makers, and men and women and families. I was here yesterday, and guess what I saw in this room? Men, women, a family, working on pulling things together so that this can be a center for us to worship and to go out, to gather for strength so we can scatter for light. I want you to be a part of that. It's going to take your will to do that. Every other Saturday, we have people here who are working on this building. Men, women, families. Pick a Saturday. There's a link that's coming. You can find it on our Facebook events. Pick a Saturday and sign up for it. Now, I know some of you are saying, only one Saturday? I want to do more. Go ahead. That's okay. I'm talking about at least one Saturday to come here and help out. And it really helps us if you pre-register, because then the people planning the work have a better idea what work we can plan. So that's call to action number two. And call to action number three is sign up for backyard missions. Years ago, we decided that while we are, yes, going to invest in missions around the world, we are also going to invest in missions across the street. God has given us a responsibility, that vision, that responsibility that I felt to reach the people who are my people. We have that responsibility. It's not just about going overseas. It's about being a witness here. So Backyard Missions is one of the ways that we take the church out of the building. And for people who don't go to church, what they find is the church has come to them and is building bridges through service, through love, through compassion. Sign up for Backyard Missions. Maybe all you're going to do is swing a hammer. That is part of building a relationship within our community. That is part of building a bridge where somebody who's serving can say to a person, "How are you doing? How can I pray for you?" And giving us an opportunity to take a household that is feeling the pressure from something being in disrepair, who's feeling things being out of balance, who's feeling hell pressing on them, and to step in and say, "We're going to intercede and we're going to bring balance in the name of Jesus. We're going to step in." I want you to be a part of that. Now, the dates for that are Wednesday, July 28th through Saturday, July 31st. And some people are taking time off from work, which is not crazy, because if you're going to go on an overseas mission, you're going to take at least a week off from work. You're going to raise thousands of dollars in financial support just for a plane ticket. We're saying for the price of a plane ticket, we can make a huge impact right here in our community. For the price of one plane ticket, we can make a huge impact in our community. We can give people the chance to be on mission right here for a couple of days. The days that you would have had to spent traveling, you could spend here serving and loving your neighbor well. There's a link that's coming up in the chat. You can also find it on our website, newdaywi.com/backyard-missions. Three calls to action that I'm asking you to take this summer. Put in-person Sundays on your calendar. Pick at least one Saturday to be involved in the reconstruction of this space. And then be part of the overflowing blessing that goes out from here by signing up for Backyard Missions. That's what biblical community, I think, is going to look like this summer. And that's just the on-ramp. There are other great things that are going to happen. There are prayer initiatives. There are going to be music events. There are going to be other things that happen. I'm just saying this is entry level. Make this commitment. Be part of biblical community. Catch the vision for God's will being done in your heart, in your household, in your neighborhood, in this community, on earth as it is in heaven, and have the will to be involved in that. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving the people in the time of Nehemiah the vision and the will to do what they did, because they kept in motion your plan that we're now a part of today. I pray that we would take that responsibility seriously. I pray that we would have fun doing it. And I pray, God, that for people who are hearing this message, that you would give them a clearer vision of what you're doing. And God, that you would give us all the will to join you in your mission for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, next week, practice number 7, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts and how to use them. So I'm looking forward to reconnecting with you next week. See you then.